God says, I have every right. I created you, and I redeemed you with my own shed blood. I have every right to bring these circumstances into your life. I will build meaning into your life.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
Second Timothy, the third chapter, in verses 1 to 5, is an overview of what we might call the marks of ungodliness. In that passage, Paul sketches very vividly the character of the contemporary scene in his day. And he says in this chapter, in verse 13, that things will wax worse and worse the closer we move toward the end of the age. And as he sketches that contemporary scene, he then summons Timothy, to whom he's writing. This is Paul's last letter. He's writing from a Roman prison. He's about to face decapitation. He will lose his life for the cause of Christ. He summons Timothy, in spite of almost universal declension, to continue faithful to that which he had learned from the great apostle. And that same mandate and summons which he gave to Timothy, he's giving to us as well. He's telling us that wicked men and their menacing philosophies will prevail in the world around us, that they will be hostile to all that we stand for, that they will be a part of Satan's attack upon our families, upon our churches, and upon our culture. And he tells us that we are to know what these men are like. He says in verse 1, this know. Now, as I look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 1 to 5, there are really two basic points here. One, there's a general characterization. That's in verse 1 and the first part of verse 2. And out of that general characterization of these terrible times, four propositions emerge. One, we're living in the last days, which began technically, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, which began technically with the appearance of our Lord Jesus Christ, and which will consummate with the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are living in the last days. These days will include, he says, seasons of peril. In the last days, perilous times, perilous seasons, perilous times shall come. And he said, thirdly, that these seasons of stress will be the result of the activities of evil and godless men. For men shall be, and then he tells us what they will be like. And then he says, finally, that we are to know this. We are to understand it, to be perfectly clear about it, and so be prepared for it when it comes, this know. Then we've begun to give you and unfold this more specific characterization of the marks of ungodliness. We gave a general characterization in those four propositions, but then a more specific characterization, trying to unfold what Paul is saying in these verses, in verses 2 to 5 in particular. And we said, as we look at those verses, there are really three things which seem to be stated with respect to these godless men and these godless activities and attitudes. First, there's something foundational wrong with them. We suggested that they have the wrong loves. They love the wrong things. They have the wrong affections. We're to set our affections on things above and not on things on this earth. And whenever we fall in love with the wrong things, it has a way of corrupting our whole way of life. And if you remember, we noted that there were four wrong loves that they have. Two at the very beginning of the list, and two at the very end of the list. We said that they were self-lovers, lovers of their own selves. And then we said that they were silver lovers, they were covetous. And the word is literally philargyros, lovers of silver. They were self-lovers, and then they were silver lovers. And then we said they were sensuality lovers. They're lovers of pleasure, right at the end of the list there, in verse 4. They were lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They were senseless lovers. It's a senseless and maddening thing to love other things in the place of God or to worship the false God. So that was what was fundamentally or foundationally wrong with these men. They love the wrong things. So first, something foundational, wrong loves. Then something filial, something family-oriented. He begins with that phrase after boasters, proud, and blasphemers, which were three terms describing what it means to love ourselves, self-lovers. He begins with that phrase, disobedient to parents, and then unthankful within the context of the family. Now it grows outside of the family, but it begins within the context of the family. The first area, the first arena in which this foundational malady, this foundational disease begins to reveal itself is within the framework of the family. And so he says they're disobedient to parents, they're unthankful, they're unholy or irreverent toward authority and toward the decencies of life, including their parents. And then they're without natural affection. That's a family term. The very word storge is a family term. And then they're truce breakers or filled with unrelenting bitterness within the context of the family. So let's take a moment to look at some of these attitudes which some young people adopt toward their parents. This is the first area in which this breakdown foundationally begins to reveal itself within the framework of the family. First, Paul says that they're disobedient to parents. You know, the ancient world had a great reverence for parents. So Paul says, disobedience to parents. Isn't it interesting? We think it's kind of an incidental thing. It's just kind of a phase we go through. There are a lot of parents who think rebellion is a phase. There are a lot of teenagers who've been conditioned to think that way. It's something I'm supposed to go through. It's a phase I'm supposed to go through. Rebellion is never a phase. Rebellion is a deep spiritual problem. The scripture says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's exposure to the realm and power of evil. And stubbornness is like iniquity and like idolatry. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 23. Disobedience to parents is a hideous mark of ungodliness. Paul says disobedience to parents is a manifestation of the marks of ungodliness. Then he goes a step further. He says, not only are they disobedient to parents, but they're unthankful. Do you notice? He says, secondly, they're unthankful. That's a mark of ungodliness. And I might suggest that this touches many of us. There's a sense in which parents ought to be thankful for their children, as well as children being thankful for their parents. Unthankfulness, the spirit of ingratitude, is the most graceless of all sins. And it's something that begins to permeate Christians who are not deeply cultivating their lives with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those whose faith is nothing more than a superficial ornament rather than the foundation upon which they really build their lives. They build all of their life. This unthankfulness describes those who are devoid of even an elementary appreciation for benefits they received. And I think contextually it has to do with the family. It speaks of a lack of gratefulness for benefits received at the hands of parents, but the sin of ingratitude, the sin of unthankfulness can never remain at home. It extends itself into the sphere of all of our benefactors, even God. We become unthankful to God. You know, the Bible says that the fountain sin of the unregenerate masses of humanity is they don't thank God. Do you know the Bible says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. Romans chapter 1. In verse 21, there's a twofold fountain sin of unregenerate humanity. One, they're unworshipful. They don't glorify God. They don't ascribe glory to God. They don't bow down before him. They don't revere him. They don't love him as they should. That's why they're lost. That's why they're unsaved. That's why they're bound for a Christless eternity. The devastation of Gehenna, it's called hell in the Bible. They won't worship God. They glorify not God, neither were they thankful. Not only were they unworshipful, they were unthankful. You know, I wonder how many of us are unthankful for God. How many of us fail to worship God as we ought to? I wonder how many there are in the hearing of my voice that are outside a personal relationship with the Son of God and don't worship God as they should, nor are they thankful to him for all that he's provided. I want you to know that if that describes your circumstance, you are in deep peril. You are facing devastating catastrophe, not only here and now, but in the hereafter. And we would urge you from behind this pulpit to come to Christ today and to receive him as your Lord and as your Savior. But you know, this is a spirit that can begin to permeate even Christians. Even Christians can be moved and marked by the spirit of ingratitude. Whenever we're not thankful, do you know that we're really questioning God? God, I'm not thankful for this thing that you've allowed to come into my life. God, I'm not thankful for this pressure that you've allowed to invade my human experience. God, I'm not thankful for that. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. And whenever we become unthankful to God, we begin to question certain things in the nature of God. For example, we begin to question God's authority. What right do you have to bring this into my life? God says, I have every right. I created you and I redeemed you with my own shed blood. I have every right to bring these circumstances into your life. I will build meaning into your life through those things. We begin to question God's authority. What right do you have to bring this into my life? We begin to question God's wisdom. God, do you really know what's going on? Are you aware of the pressure and the suffering I'm enduring? We begin to question God's wisdom. We begin to question God's power. God, aren't you able? Aren't you powerful? Aren't you able to relieve this and remove this? And God says, yes, but I have a purpose in it. That's why I'm allowing it to remain. We begin to question God's love. God, don't you even care? Aren't you a caring God? Aren't you a loving God? Don't you even care what is happening to me as your child? And whenever we begin to question God's authority, God's wisdom, God's power, or God's love, you know what we're tempted to do? We're tempted to take matters into our own hands and resolve our problems on the basis of human initiative instead of waiting for God to resolve them. And whenever we do that, it works havoc in our lives. The scripture says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands by taking matters into her own hands. Proverbs 14 and verse 51. An unthankful spirit, whether it abides in the hearts of our children or in the hearts of we who are parents or adults, is a devastating thing. Nothing so shrivels the spirit of all that it touches as a spirit of ingratitude and unthankfulness. Paul says that's a mark of ungodliness. And then he says they're unholy. He means they're irreverent. They insult the common decencies of life. That's what the word means. It was used to describe essentially a man's relationship to God, but in classical Greek, it was used to describe the attitude of a child to his parents. Irreverent, irreligious, insensitive to the fundamental and common decencies of life. In the Greek world, this was a word that was used to describe a man who refused burial to the dead. He offends the common decencies of life. It was used to describe a brother who married a sister or a son who married a mother, an incestuous marriage. The common decencies of life this kind of man offends. It became a deep abnormality in the ancient world, and it's surfacing in our world as well. It described men who were mastered by the shameless and the godless things, an irreverent attitude, in particular toward parents, and beyond that, toward God. They were unholy. And then, number four, the Bible says they were without natural affection. This is the fourth term that describes this family problem. They were without natural affection. You know, that's just the translation of one Greek word. Without natural affection is the translation of one Greek word, storgoi. And it comes from the Greek word storge, which is the word for family love. The love of the child for parent, the love of the parent for his children. It's part of the natural created order that parents and children should love each other. It seems nonsensical that we should even have to say that, but in our day and age, it's critical that we say it. It is a part of the natural created order that parents should love their children and that children should love their parents. And without that family love, the institution of the family must disintegrate. To be destitute of such love is to reveal the deepest of abnormalities. I wonder, young people, do you love your parents? If you love them, you'll obey them. If I love God, I'll obey Him. I'm to stand in a relationship of love and obedience to my God. And children are to stand in a relationship of love and obedience to their parents. And to fail to do that is to reveal the deepest abnormality, warps and wrinkles, repercussions in the emotional and the spiritual nature of an individual. And this deformity has reached its apex in our culture.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
But I want to tell you, that spirit is a tragic betrayal of their faith, and it might be a powerful revelation that their faith is hypocritical.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.